This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. Milwaukee Public Schools are ramping up efforts to remove lead from school buildings built after 1950. Superintendent Dr. Brenda Casilius.
We are now in about 16 schools and another 14 to begin later in September and the remaining 19 later in the fall. These schools have just a few rooms and lesser walls and items to address than the first set of schools, which was much more significant.
The district plans to have the 50 remaining schools cleared of lead dust by the end of the year. Milwaukee Public Schools are also taking new steps to boost safety inside classrooms. This year, students are learning a standardized protocol designed to make emergency responses quicker and clearer. The district worked with police, fire, and national safety experts to create this protocol. MPS Emergency Operations Manager Kevin Hafman says this.
From day one, when we reached out to the Department of Justice for Office of School Safety and we identified this as a gap, we had Milwaukee Fire, Milwaukee Police, our SROs. We even reached out to County OEM, which is Office of Emergency Management, Wisconsin Emergency Management, as well as dispatch for the city of Milwaukee 911.
A congressman from Wisconsin wants to end the possibility of government shutdowns. Representative Brian Steele talks about his Wisconsin-inspired bill.
We have an underlying law that says we're going to continue to fund state agencies at their current levels in the event a new budget's not passed. At the federal government, if we simply took the Wisconsin idea, put it in at the national level, it would end the brinksmanship that occurs every single year in Washington.
Under the bill, funding would be automatically renewed for 2 weeks until Congress signs new appropriations into law. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
Survivor describes her experience with 17-year-old Tremonte Kirk.
Kirk is charged with second-degree sexual assault use of force. He pleaded guilty on Wednesday. Christina Van Zyl spoke with a survivor who says her fight for justice is far from over. She joins us from the newsroom. Christina?
Ted, Milwaukee County prosecutors describe Kirk as a serial rapist. That's why the woman he assaulted says she worries for the women in the community if he doesn't get the maximum sentence.
when you look at his record, he's not learned from any lesson.
17-year-old Tremonte Kirk sits in front of a judge Wednesday, where he pled guilty to two counts of second-degree sexual assault and one count of aggravated battery.
He did it. He knows he did it.
54-year-old Charlotte Nozar calls herself a survivor. Prosecutors say Kirk raped her in the elevator of her apartment in December. Nozar suspected she wasn't the only one.
See, I told you all from jump that there were more out there.
Wednesday, she learned she was right. Another victim sat in court.
A couple weeks ago, I was notified by Milwaukee police that there was a DNA hit related to a report made in October of last year. That incident involves a victim.
Fox 6 first talked with Nozar in May when she was in court for Kirk's preliminary hearing.
I had to let go of the hate and the anger.
Nozar says she's grateful to be spared a trial, but her fight isn't over.
I'm planning on going in there with both barrels blazing and advocating for the maximum sentence on all charges to run consecutively.
It's the fourth time Kirk is charged with sexual assault. Prosecutors say he was on GPS monitoring when he assaulted Nozar. Court records show Kirk was previously found guilty in juvenile court of sexually assaulting three other women, including an elderly woman. Wednesday, the court ordered a pre-sentence investigation of Kirk's juvenile record.
I am grateful because that just adds a more rounded picture of his history and what this kid is capable of.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I came across this video on Fox6Now.com when it said, Milwaukee sex assault teen serial rapist pleads guilty. And I thought, how are you a teen and a serial rapist? Well, I listened to the story and I went, okay, first of all, it's a terrible, heinous crime. Not necessarily something you want to come back on a Monday to hear. But the fact that he committed the crime as a juvenile. Now, in Wisconsin, when you're 18 years old, you're considered an adult. But we're talking about convicted of not one, not two, but three sexual assaults as a child under the age of 17. Now, we may never know what age he was when he committed those. But I'm afraid to think about the fact that you went through the juvenile system and it takes about a good 6 months to a year, you had to have been at least 15 or 16 when you committed those crimes. Let's say, for giggles, he was 15. Three sexual assaults? Should he be, now, first of all, he's going to be on the registry for the rest of his life. He's an adult. Are there juvenile crimes that should follow you the rest of your life? Before reading this story and before listening to this video, I would have said, no, you get a second chance. And somebody said, it depends on the crime. Yes and no. Let's say it's homicide. What happened? I'm going to be talking about a story later about a young man who, goofing around with a gun, shot and killed a young lady in Milwaukee. Terrible tragedy. He's now altered his life for the rest of his life. But based on the information that I have, he was carrying a gun he shouldn't have by virtue of being a juvenile. And he shot somebody. And based on the information I read in the news story, it was accidental. Doesn't absolve him from anything. Other than the fact that he shouldn't have had a gun as a juvenile and negligent handling that caused the death of someone. But when you intentionally commit three sexual assaults as a juvenile and then at 17 get caught for another multiple crimes, what does that say about juvenile crime? Literally had a bracelet on when he committed the crime. Where in that whole system did anybody step up and say, okay, wait a minute, we have a problem here? We're not talking about the boy-girl trouble or the boy-boy trouble or the girl-girl trouble, where two people, somebody was drinking, somebody was arguing, something happened, and man, they gave consent and withdrew consent. Well, children can't. But we're talking about a young man that right now may literally spend a good portion of his life in jail. Juvenile law doesn't seem to be on the side of victims. Criminal law does not seem to be on the side of victims. But are there juvenile crimes that should follow you the rest of your life? 833-212-1017. Is this one of them? Four victims. And he pled guilty. Four sexual assaults. Is this something? Because right now, today, juvenile law seems to say you either get always or never.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Whoever Matthew is in the chat seems to think he irritates me when he says stuff about me. I just find it. First of all, thank you, Matthew, for paying attention to the fact that I'm wearing blue. And he said, I look like the Riddler. Clearly, you don't know how to dress because you probably look worse than a Riddler. So I don't know.
Damn.
Anyway. And then he goes on to say, let's go back. He said, let's go back to why a juvenile had a gun and banned guns. Like banning a gun is going to stop people from shooting people. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Matthew's not off to a good start. He said, remember Red in the Shawshank Redemption? He was just a kid who made a mistake. How do you mistakenly rape four people? You said that, Matthew. I'm attributing that to you. Second chance is still the objective. Then why don't you put your wife and your daughters and your female family members and have this guy come stay with them? See how that works out. But he's just saying it because he thinks it's going to get me bothered, but it's really not, because I can just not read him. It's really easy. 833. Welcome, Matthew. How are you? Who else is up in here? Not really a city girl. Babar. Mal the elephant. Still don't know what that's about. Jermaine, Josh. Who else? SE, what's going on? Hey, SE was first. There you go. So I came across a story, and I gotta say, you know, sometime ICE be doing some bizarre stuff, but I gotta tell you, ICE might not be on thin ice. So The Root has a story, and it's been going around since last week, about Dr. Ian Roberts, who is a school superintendent in Iowa, black, got arrested by ICE. They said it left the entire district in disarray. If the superintendent leaves the district in disarray, then that superintendent was probably not a good superintendent. I'm just saying. He came to the U.S. on a student visa in the 90s. Now ICE deemed him a dangerous illegal criminal. Students and staff in the greater Des Moines, Iowa community are rallying behind the superintendent of one of the biggest districts in the state after he was arrested by ICE. Then they talk about he's a pillar of the community, an educator, former Olympic athlete. The government has accused him of being a criminal. Well, they didn't accuse him. They didn't accuse him. Anyway, I'm going to just read the story and you make up your mind. I'm interested in what you think. Shortly after 3 p.m. on Friday, ICE agents reportedly approached Roberts while he sat in his vehicle. He sped away. They called him a teacher. He's not a teacher. He's a superintendent. Agents eventually found his car abandoned near a wooded area, and Roberts was later arrested immediately following his arrest. Many of the community protested in his honor. But in order to understand the outcry after his detainment, you have to start at the very beginning. This is the part that you need to pay attention to. Born to Guyanese immigrants, Roberts entered the U.S. So he wasn't born to Guyanese immigrants. He and his family immigrated. He came on a student visa, 1999. That's according to Homeland Security. Went to Coppin State, HBCU in Maryland. Track scholarship. During his time, he became the school's first NCAA All-American in any sport and was also Coppin's first ever Olympic athlete in 2000, inducted into the school's Hall of Fame. And then it goes on and on and on in leadership and all that stuff. In 2023, he became superintendent of Des Moines Public School District, the largest district in the state. Before that, he was in St. Louis, Baltimore, D.C., and New York City. Despite Roberts initially coming to the U.S. legally, he received a final order of removal by an immigration judge in May of last year. His student visa that he initially came on expired. He was here illegally. On top of that, the department reported that he has an outstanding weapons charge, a possession charge from February 2020, which is related to a hunting rifle. That's according to CNN. DHS has now deemed him a public safety threat. Do you agree? Remove the race. Remove all the things he did and went to an HBCU, all the stuff that makes you emotional. The guy was here illegally, overstayed his visa, and has a pending gun charge. Should he have been arrested? So think about this. Think of it from another point of view. He finished programs at Morgan State, Harvard's Graduate School of Education, Georgetown McDonnell School of Business, and MIT Sloan School of Management. Had careers in St. Louis, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and New York City. Nobody ever checked his immigration status. Had a driver's license, probably had a Social Security card. He's here illegally. On top of that, he has a gun charge he hasn't taken care of. It's been 5 years. Then when the police approach him, instead of handling it, he ran. He fled. But yet people want to support him because he's black. Or do they? Hours after Roberts was arrested, community members gathered at the federal building in Des Moines to protest ICE. How is it ICE's fault that a guy overstayed his visa illegally, got jobs illegally? Think about somebody else that was black that could have got that job, who was a legal citizen and worked here and parents sent him to school and all that, and didn't go to school on a scholarship, but he did. And then on top of that, had the gun charge, worked at multiple places, and nobody checked his immigration status? Nobody. Because it looked like he was a U.S. citizen. And so, I don't know if you know, when you go for a job, you have to fill out the I-9. There's a form you fill out for immigration where you check the box to say you're a U.S. citizen. They're going to go back and check that. And if he checked the box and said that he was a U.S. citizen, he lied on a federal form, which means he can be charged again. Am I missing something?
that a guy who came and took advantage of America, who could have easily, in all that time, simply filed for citizenship. Maybe it's the cop in me. I don't know. 833-212-1017. We're talking about a black guy who's done great things in the community, uplifted the school, but yet he's here illegally. Started illegally, which means he lied on every application he filled out, or he didn't lie, and now all those cities and school districts are at fault because they let it slide. And nobody said a word. 833-212-1017 is the number. Brian, you're on the award-winning 1017 The Truth.
It must be the police. Must be the cop in you. But I would say this. Why didn't he just apply to become a U.S. citizen like the rest of the people from other countries do?
Right.
I mean, if he's that smart to get all these degrees, he could have just, applied to become a citizen.
Yep.
Should have did that from the start.
It's not like he didn't make enough money.
It's not like he wasn't intelligent enough to pass it.
Well,
I mean,
avoided it for decades.
Yeah, that was the silly part right there.
Yep.
And he had liberals in the government at the time, so it would have been easy for him to get his citizenship. Yeah, I don't get that at all. That's just silly on his part. But it is what it is. That's still a cop in you.
So why do you think people are so upset about the fact that this guy got arrested? Like, would they have cared if he was black
like
and he was from I don't know, Brazil or from Portugal or something? Like, I don't know.
You know what? Obviously, he talks like us. He probably fits into the culture like us. He probably doesn't speak with a foreign accent. He just seems like he's just one of us. And that's probably the shocking thing about it, that they're thinking that they're just arresting anybody. You know, it's probably a culture shock to the black population there. That's what I would think.
Somebody on the chat said, you miss this thing called empathy. How do you empathize for someone who rapes four women? How do you empathize with someone who came into a country illegally and got paid and got jobs and lied about it? If I did it, you'd be ready to throw me out. You'd be like, oh, well, we got to support. No, you'd be like, yep, he's gone. Why is it? Help me out, Brian. Why is it that when black people mess up, we should always make a way for it, but we always want everybody else thrown out?
Well, I would say this. It's because they look like you. They look like us. And we think that we're everybody's crutch, and we think we're supposed to get an advantage because we have so few numbers and we have so few advantages. That's why.
But do we have so few advantages? I mean, I know we do, and we have people that are blocking everything we do every day. But
every day.
There are a good number of us who have actually made it through that system.
Therein lies the dichotomy of the I digress and the unfairness of the human life experience.
Right.
Peace.
All right. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, the guy who got a job, don't rape four women, stop being disingenuous. Dr. Ken, the guy who did was a U.S. citizen. Irrelevant. I'm talking about victims. And that's my problem. It seemed like black folk never think about the victim. They think about the actor. My po-son is getting locked up in jail. My po-son is, what about the victim? Yeah, we don't think about that. We don't think about that. And nobody said he was a rapist. And why do you care? You seem to care more about people who don't belong here than for people who actually belong here. We seem to be okay giving resources to people who didn't earn them legitimately. We'll give them to them and we won't help the homeless guy on the street. So the argument somebody will say, well, did you help the homeless guy? Which is a silly argument. Bottom line, he was here illegally and he got caught. And you know what? Somebody probably dimed him out. We're talking about a guy that came here illegally living the good life, who could have at any time when he graduated from college, his visa changed. Matthew said, don't get mad when you get pushed back. Ain't nobody mad at you. Anyway, when you say something that makes sense, maybe we'll have a conversation. Till then, why don't you say something that makes sense? Instead of being emotional all the time. There are criminals in the black community that prey on black people. And we seem to have a problem putting black criminals in jail. We have a problem not looking at the victim. We keep looking at the perpetrator as if there's some magical thing that caused them to do it or somebody else's fault that as a child, you raped three people. And as a man in the state of Wisconsin at 17, you raped a woman. Did we ever look at victims? There are people dead today. And we're crying about the fact that the person had to spend their life in prison. You killed somebody. And I'm not talking about accidentally. Stuff happens. Mistakes happen. I got that. But when you literally kill somebody on purpose, come on. When you actually forcibly rape someone, I'm not talking about y'all was messing around and then later she went back and said you did something to her. That makes no sense. None whatsoever. But yet, here we are. Because they're black, we got to come up with some mitigating circumstance why they did it, some mitigating circumstances. Oh, it's got to be something else. And we didn't jump on the mental health bandwagon to the point where if you blink less times than somebody else blinked, it's a mental health issue. Some people are just bad. Some people are just evil. But we got to start looking at victims. If you really want to give somebody empathy, what about the victim? Whatever caused you to be in a position where you had to commit a crime, and I get it. I'm a little light on crimes like stealing food, feeding your family, stuff like that. I might. In my days as a cop, I've we're going to write you this ticket, but you technically should be arrested for state retail theft and go through the process and can charge you with a misdemeanor, but I'm going to write you a ticket. And what's your problem? Got a baby in the car. Need some formula. We bought the formula. Called another cop. Hey, dude, yeah, let's put our money together. Go buy some formula. And let's not buy a couple bottles of formula. Let's buy her like a case and give it to her. We bought a can opener, some baby bottles, and gave it to her. And she went on her way. She was homeless, living in a car with her baby. Took the baby in the store, tried to wrap up the Similac. And did they make it even more? Anyway, and put it in her thing and tried to carry it out. And let's just go on and help this woman out. To the point where the manager at the time was like, hey, I didn't want to get her in trouble, but, you know, policy, I got to call. I say, if we pay for it, what you want to do? Well, still, she took it, so there's nothing we can do. And that was right when they changed the law where you used to had to leave the last point of purchase. So you could stick all kind of stuff in your purse and not get in trouble and then walk to the counter and pay for it or get caught and pay for it and you weren't in trouble. They changed the law where if you hide it in the aisle and you conceal it, it's theft. And that's what happened to her. We have to be more empathetic and meet people's needs versus just locking them up. But when you commit rape and murder, I don't know how to get around that. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. When are we going to be understanding to the victim?
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things is to honor their trust and their commitment to their craft. A lot of customers might have some apprehensions, folk coming to your house, knocking on the door. Hey, how are you? We here to sell you. You called them. But when they come, you see the experience and the professionalism, and you can trust them with bringing your project to life. You might want windows in a dining room, windows on the second floor. Really doesn't matter. Their vision is to be the company that people like you want to do business with. Order by the end of the month, and today is the 29th. You got one more day. You get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com, PellaWI.com. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, what's up, Sylvia? y'all silly. Y'all tripping. Okay, the chat is for y'all to talk to us, not be tripping out and doing stuff and all that stuff. You know. And nobody cares if you stand on it, so whatever. Thank you, Babar. Appreciate you. Ooh. All right, they going in on each other, but anyway. Anywho, 833-212-1017 is the number. So they locked up the, previously we were talking about, they locked up the superintendent of Des Moines because he was here illegally and overstayed his student visa. That's one crime. And then he got multiple jobs and took jobs. That's like four. And then number five was Des Moines. And then, I mean, so you're working illegally in all those places. And y'all know Trump is vindictive. He may go back to all them places and be like, hey, any federal funding pay this guy's salary? You got to pay us back or something crazy like that. So I don't know. Why is it so difficult to just do the right thing? Why? Like, why is that so hard? And why is it that black people have an issue when black people get caught doing the wrong thing? That's just weird to me. Makes no sense. Right now, 74 degrees, 40 minutes after the hour. 78 degrees, the low. Tonight is 59. It's a little chilly. So let me tell you about what I did over the weekend. This weekend, I went to Connecticut. But I had to fly into Rhode Island, Providence, and then go. I flew the airline that every single time I fly this airline, other than flying this airline to Arizona, every single time I fly this airline, is late. I went to Miami, late. Coming home, late. Rhode Island, late. Coming home, late. And I don't mean late, like it was like Amtrak late, 5 hours. Supposed to leave at 10:15, left at about 1. Supposed to leave at 5:15, left at like 8. Why? I was supposed to be home by 8 o'clock Sunday night. I went to bed at 2:32 this morning. Ridiculous. Well, we're having some mechanical problems. We'll have to work on it. And I said, oh, so now y'all got to submit it and type it up like they did when we were coming here? So when I was going, they had mechanical problems and the mechanic came out and it took them like an hour to fix it. Then after the hour was up, they said, it'll take about 45 minutes to submit the paperwork. Electronically? 45 minutes? So that's what they did. I guess they had to wait on a reply. Or the person only had one finger and they had to type with one finger. My. M-Y space N-A-M-E space I-S space Okay, I only got one finger. How I hold down a capital. Uh-oh. I use my elbow. Capital K-E-N. I was like, dude, this is bad. So, of course, I did what? I didn't put them on blast like I did Amtrak because I fly them too much. I had to call them to see like, hey, so I want something for you blasting me out. And luckily, I didn't have a meeting to be at like I did on Amtrak and completely missed it. But I had a beautiful time. Connecticut is beautiful this time of year. Rhode Island is beautiful this time. You know, if somebody tell you that these other places look different, they don't. All the buildings are the same. The hood is the same. Poor people are the same. Homeless people are the same. Now, here's what I didn't like. To get to the rental car place was literally 3/4 of a mile. They did not have transportation. You had to walk. So can you imagine dragging luggage 5 city blocks to go pick up a rental car? And then you got there and you were at level 2. Your rental car is on level 4 and the escalator's not working. And the elevator's full. I'm like, this is terrible. But here's the thing. When those things happen, nobody complains about it. So nobody does anything about it. Well, I don't want to complain because I'm going to get somebody in trouble. Yeah, but you and 1,000 people are inconvenienced. I don't get it. 833-212-1017 is the number. When we come back, I want to talk about a phrase used in Black Greek letter organizations. Turnabout.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I got something for the fellas this time around. Ladies, won't you tell me your name?
Tabitha Athena.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Came across this story on news1.com. I don't know if you heard about it. Last week, some MAGA folks rolled up on TSU, Tennessee State, and basically they ran them off campus. All right. HBCU students are built different. This is an article by Dr. Stacy Patton. So while the slain white supremacist Charlie Kirk set up his folding tables on the white college campuses and baited liberal students with signs of prove me wrong, they lined up thinking they were about to step into honest debate. They believed in the promise their institution had always sold them, if you argue well enough, you'll be heard. And then she jumps to basically say that, but black students at HBCUs don't carry those illusions. They live in a world that never treated them as equals, where every right to higher education has been contested for generations. And so Tennessee State students didn't waste a second debating the MAGA clowns who showed up uninvited on their campus in their red MAGA hats and cameras and posters and DEI should be illegal. And does this person know that DEI isn't legal? So what are you arguing about? Anyway, deport all illegals now. And so basically, it goes on to say, video from the scene captured TSU students shouting at the intruders, recording on their phones, holding up Black Lives Matter signs, calling them thieves and deviants, and trolling them as campus police escorted them away. She said that's how you deal with racists, which to a point is true. But here's my question. Of course, because I always go to the opposite side to see how it'll hold up. If you're on a predominantly white institution, what if they start throwing black organizations off the yard? What if they say, well, we don't really have a need for a student NAACP chapter at this school? You're gone. You don't get to use student organization resources because there's turnabout. You have a right to screen people off your campus. That is your right. You pay tuition there. You're a citizen. And here's the cool thing about it. Tennessee State University is a state university. They have a right to be there. You have a right to be there. But if your voice is louder than their voice, they got to roll. So they rolled. Well, technically, they got escorted off. This is the same road DEI went down. When they wake up, they're going to negate your stuff. So, TSU, I applaud you. You didn't want somebody on your campus saying something you disagreed with, but are you showing that you are not open-minded enough to hear what somebody else has to say, racist or not? And if they use the same terminology that you use, are you able to hold up your argument like they didn't get to? Because when state of Tennessee officials start to say, well, I don't know if we're going to be giving TSU the money that we normally give them, what are you going to do? And when they start telling your black organizations at the University of Tennessee that you're not welcome, what are you going to do? Or when you stand up and want to have a speaker come to campus and they tell you, no, we don't want that person here. We're predominantly white and we don't want to hear that. And when you complain, they're going to point to TSU and go, you throw us off your yard, now you got to get off ours. How do you argue that? Again, it's the law of unintended consequences. Think about what you're doing and think about what you want so that when you step up, they have no argument. None whatsoever. But yet, we complain, and then when it blows up in our face, and so somebody said they caused anger. So? What are you getting angry about somebody else that disagrees with you? Who cares? Why are you giving their words credence by speaking up? Oh, my God, is it? Go away. You're not important enough to alter my life or even make me upset about something you're saying. You're just not that important to me. Go away. But instead, we get emotional. We get mad. I don't like what you say. They cause anger. How about you just not listen? Go away. How about you just not show up? Let them argue. Let them talk to each other. Just don't show up. You're a black, predominantly black university. Just roll. Hey, they got some MAGA folks on campus. Really? Where? Okay. I'm going to lunch. And let them stand there by themselves. Because it is a state school. They do have freedom of speech there. If it's public, they get to be there. You think if you went to a white school, police would come escort you off? They might come arrest you. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you push. It'll come back and bite you every time. Especially when people come to campus and talk. You know, the best, it's the same as TV. It's the same as streaming. It's the same as social media. If you don't want to see it, don't watch it. It'll go away. It'll go away. But they're already clamping down on HBCUs, especially the state ones. Because the private ones, you know, we can kind of fund them and take care of them and that'll be fine. But somebody on the chat keeps saying, people just showed up to cause anger. Who's causing you anger? You're literally deciding to be angry. You're literally deciding to get mad at somebody that you really don't have to be mad at. Your point of view is your point of view. Just like Matthew on the chat. Police got them out of there so the situation wouldn't escalate. They didn't escalate it. You're saying the black kids would escalate it? And then Matthew says, I'm playing dumb. I'm just asking the question. Your problem is you're not open to having anybody challenge anything you say because you think you're right about everything and everything black is 100% right. That's ridiculous. If that were the case, then black kids wouldn't be killing black people. That, what, 15-year-old girl in Milwaukee would still be alive today. What are you talking about? I wish you had enough. Okay, I can't say that word. Energy to go after them the way you go after me. But you don't. Because you'll let other people get away with, technically, murder. Because it doesn't touch you. It's not your family member. You don't care. And at some point, somebody needs to be called out. Hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not handling it the way you're supposed to handle. Take a step back. Stop letting people get in your head. And mess with you and make you literally, had those kids went after those white people, they'd be sitting in jail over something that somebody was saying. Like, think about what you're doing. They didn't harm you. They didn't touch you. Don't mess up your entire collegiate career and the rest of your life on some words somebody else said. Turn around and walk away. But then, what happens? Interesting. Top 5 at 5 up next.